would you like to know more? Would you like to know more?
Welcome to the War Master Podcast, episode 87 with Paul and Barry.
Hello, listeners. And today's title is Lizardman Army Review, the thing we were going to record earlier, but we didn't.
Yeah, 86 part 2.
86 part 2.
87. To a round at Paul's, it's Sunday evening.
Yep.
Hazel's asleep.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Muted voices.
Muted his voices. We're in the man cave.
Yep.
Shit spires coming up later.
Yep, it is.
But without those blue marines. Although they are blue, so you must be feeling drawn towards them just by the colour alone.
Exactly. They even suggested to have blue panels on them.
So is it going to break your eyes? Are you going to be playing Age of Sigmar now with the submarines?
No, God no. I don't want to play Age of Sigmar.
No.
But Shadespire, well, we'll talk on to that, but that's another matter. That's something completely different.
The only problem is I can't get excited about anything but undead, I don't think. Because Skaven, you're Mr. Cheese.
Yeah, well, yeah.
So they can't compete there. Cheese.
We'll talk about it when,
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And, the dwarves are very non-fantasy dwarves. They're like sci-fi Flash Gordon dwarves.
Flash Gordon dwarves, yeah.
And let's not talk about the Marines. And then who's the other one they've got? Undead.
Undead and Orcs.
The Orcs don't look much like Orcs as I remember. Kind of like a cross between some space Orcs and black Orcs, I guess.
It's the fluff. But all of these, I mean, it's interesting, the Skaven aren't a new faction. Well, I suppose the Undead aren't either, really, are they? No, I suppose, yeah, never mind. They're not all Age of Sigmar style models. So the I've got the Skaven models there on the table, and they're lovely. I'm going to enjoy painting them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess they're quite similar to the Blood Bowl stuff you've bought recently.
Yeah, basically, which is up there. Yeah, I'll enjoy painting. I enjoyed painting them as well.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. Right, so what's first on the agenda?
What have we been doing?
Oh, not much. I'll do mine first, because fuck all, innit?
Yeah, go on, you do yours. Because I've got probably more than I've ever had.
Oh, my God. We better get the timer out. Yeah. Get the timer out, goddammit. So, when did we last record?
Would have been on BonesCon, coming back.
Oh, shit, that's like a week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Jesus. Sweet Jesus.
19th.
Sweet Jesus.
No, 18th.
Yeah. So, I played Magic.
Yep.
That's it, then, I think.
How'd your Magic do?
It's all right. Mm-hmm. It's all right. There's exciting stuff happening in Magic. They've unbanned two cards that were, like, very, very, very good.
Unbanned them?
Modern.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Which, one of the cards has never been legal, and another one was banned quite quickly. So it's quite exciting, because this card went fucking Lula.
What was it?
It was like Jace the Mind Sculptor. He's like the blue planeswalker.
Yeah.
And it went from maybe 50 quid to 150 quid, like overnight.
Bloody hell. Was it that good?
People assume so. So it's like exciting times. I think they'll probably end up banning it again in about a year's time, because it is broken as balls.
Why is it broken?
Because it just does everything. It's got, like, if you can get to 4 mana and protect it, you're probably going to win.
Oh, okay. Fair enough, then.
Because you're just that good.
Yeah.
Which is why it's never been allowed.
Yeah.
So we did that, and then I saw Chris on Wednesday, briefly.
Christopher Orr?
Yeah.
Oh, so you did go down on Wednesday. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, but I had two kids in the car.
Oh, okay.
Wednesday was, like, insanely busy. There was a parents' evening, and another daughter had a dance show. So I had my 8-year-old and his 6-year-old nephew in the car.
Fun for them.
Yeah. I only left him in the car for less than 2 minutes. They timed me.
Yeah. I guess, just give him the stuff. It was his giving him some ogres, wasn't it?
Yeah, giving him his ogres, yeah. Because that's another thing I'm doing. I've been patching up the ogres. I've done all the shit, like little things. You just never imagine how long it takes to put business cards in, the art cards in the top loaders, or to package up all the ogres. Because my kids couldn't do it in the end.
Are you signing everyone?
No.
Well,
or to print the little letters that go in the box.
Are you signing my one?
If you'd like.
I think I do one.
So, yeah, everything's done.
I want an apology why it's
everything's done, and I've managed to... Sorry! Everything's done now, so we can start boxing up. But then I went through the list. I thought, all right, I'll
hang on, everything including the greenlings?
No, of course, I'm fucking greenlings. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Apart from the greenlings and the junk lobber.
So do I get my stuff
if you want? That's exactly the point. If you want it in two parts, you may have it in
well,
two
I
parts.
Well, I do.
Like Christopher said...
I'm paying two postages.
Well, I'm hand-delivering them.
Good.
So Christopher said, can I take the stuff on Wednesday? Apart from the greenlings and stuff. So I said, of course, bring it down. And basically, I was going to ship out anything that didn't have greenlings and junk lobbers.
Yeah, you said
that's only seven.
Yeah. I suppose, because
Seven orders.
Everyone wants greenlings.
They do, everyone wants greenlings.
Because you need them to build a list.
Yeah, maybe not always junk lobbers, but everybody's got greenlings in the list.
Because greenlings we trust, greenlings are great.
So, I'll get rid of those seven orders then. If people want to split orders...
So, hang on, give me some context. How many orders other are there in a rough number?
70, something like that.
So, 10% didn't order greenlings. That tells you something.
Well, 10% just ordered two or one unit of mammoth, right?
Right, okay.
That's it.
Yeah, yeah.
So... if you want to split your order, I guess get in touch and I'll ship your order in two parts. It'll obviously cost you more to do it that way,
yeah.
And it's a bit more ball ache because I've got two invoices.
What is a likely time you'll have your greenling, the other stuff completed?
No, I'm getting on that this week. So everything's packaged up to send off. All I need to do is send the invoices out tomorrow.
Yep.
And then as they come in and get paid, I ship them out. Uh-huh. And then it's Operation Greenling and Junk Lobber.
Brilliant.
I'll do it as quick as I can. I've got a holiday in the early part of April, and I want it all finished before I go on holiday.
Well, as I keep telling you, Barry, I will help you if you need help.
Well, that's good. But yeah. I am northern. I don't think my family can't understand it sometimes. If it's my cross, I will bear this cross. I made the fucking cross. I will carry the fucking cross.
It's just ridiculous.
Is your wife not like this?
I suppose she is, yeah. I suppose, yeah.
It's her cross.
Yeah.
I'll carry the fucking cross, mate. So, I don't think my wife understands either because she's southern.
Me and Joe should go for a drink sometime.
Leave the northerners to carry their crosses.
God, stupid.
So anyway, right. So that's me done. Fuck, that was quick. Let's get the timer out for Paul because if he says he's got a lot, we could be going big.
I do have more to talk about than I ever have, as in what I've been up to.
Holy
than
shit!
I probably ever have. So,
shit, man, you've gone 20 minutes sometimes just on this section.
I think I have to 180 this and just say what I did and not talk much about it.
Don't tell me what you painted blue. Yeah, just assume whatever you painted it was blue.
So, okay, basically, BonesCon, we recorded last on the 18th. The next day, the 19th, Jim came over and we played. We did some Wood Elf playtesting.
We better put it on record that you are on holiday at the moment.
Yes.
So it may look like Paul's of some Delante or someone just sits
Delante?
About.
Delante?
Is that what they were called?
What does that even mean?
Like some guy that's just rich and he just sits about all day just fucking about. Just playing and drinking and drinking.
That'd be nice. And like, but I've earned this time off. Yeah, anyway, so Jim came around on Monday, which we planned, and we did some Wood Elf playtesting, so we played two games, where I was using a Something of Everything Wood Elf list. This is version 2.3 or whatever it is. Yeah, like Alice's latest.
The Wood Elf list got Something of Everything in it. It's got fucking millions of entries.
Exactly. And
it's got four different character mounts.
I don't have them. Anyway, Jim used a Dark Elf list, and we played two games. One battle line, one meeting engagement, and lots of feedback, or thoughts about the list, because we're concentrating on the Wood Elf list.
Yeah.
But we do have another session planned in, so instead of... I reported back on the forum, I've done these things. Oh, reminds me, there's votes you need to admin in and stuff. There's work to be done. But you do that on Monday, don't you?
If I get the chance tomorrow, it'll be done.
Although
I have to say thank you because somebody actually did one.
Yeah.
Without waiting for me.
Yeah, exactly.
I ain't precious.
Yeah.
If you want to jump on and just do it. But otherwise, you'll have to wait for me to do it.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Anyway, instead of submitting some feedback now, because we're going to play have a session where Jim will use two different armies.
Right.
And I'll use the same Wood Elf list and we'll play it through and we'll see what we think. Because it's some good, some bad, but there's a lot of feedback, we think, about the army, and suggestions. Because I said to Jim, you can't just say something's bad and not suggest something alternative.
Can I say that elves are bad, generally?
Well,
ruin all
which
games.
Which you have said.
Whichever games they get their snout stuck in, generally fuck them up.
This is a problem. There's no elves in Shitspire.
Because they ruin it with the range game.
They probably
would,
yeah.
I don't see much range game.
No, and there isn't much range game at all.
Until they come in.
I think three elves would just shoot you. Anyway, and I'd have to have two elves, wouldn't they? And that would be enough. Right, so that I did. Then, this is the reason I wasn't on Wednesday, is that, but they don't know, listening.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
I said I bumped into that guy at that Guild Ball event, this guy called Steve Cole, and I played Epic Armageddon.
Proper epic.
So it was... I wish I'll just recap it briefly. Basically, he said to, like, okay, we'll meet in this club in Bethnal Green, which is a working man's club, which, when I went on the website, it, like, advertising, like, burlesque shows, and, like, it's, like, all, quite an alternative hangout, and I was like, what is this venue?
Well, it doesn't sound like a working man's club.
No, is it like, what is this venue? And he was like, oh, well, it's just that on other nights, it's a gaming club on this the night. Wednesday nights. Yeah, yeah. And I was like, okay. If I'd known Christopher Orr was going to be at our club, I wouldn't have... I'd have said another day, but I didn't at the time.
Yeah.
Anyway, it all worked out well because he played Phil anyway. So along they go, and I took my entire epic net epic army, which is far more than you need in Armageddon.
Yeah.
Like, you know, about a third of it is what you use in Armageddon. Anyway, and this game club in Bethnal Green, they did this thing that was really, I thought that's really good. I wish we had it at ours.
Mm-hmm.
So they set up all the tables, and it's a bar and everything, a microbrewery that brews its own beer as well.
Sounds good.
So I had some of that. You know, like, and they ran these metal like lines across each, above each table, about head height. They were spotlights for the table.
So this, held on what?
Well, just hanging from like the ceiling, etc., like hooks. Like they were down, like, so it was very impressed. Basically, it took a little time for them to set it up, but when it was set up, all the tables were spotlit, like they were pool tables or snooker tables.
Yeah, yeah. Even like that big convention bones, because there's lighting shit.
Oh yeah, no, the lighting was awful. Yeah, it was. They turned it up as much as they could.
And so was the Chelsea bunker. The lighting is garbage.
Well, yeah, I mean, at times you think maybe you need to bring your own light.
Like miners'
yeah,
light.
Yeah, like, exactly. But this, and I thought, oh, here we are, another dark room. Not at all. Like, a spotted, fantastic idea. Because one of their club members was an electrician.
Right. So is this something we could replicate? Or probably not?
No, because we'd have to, I just guess, do more permanent things to the venue that we have than we're allowed to do.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I wish. But obviously, the deal they have with this place was all good.
Right.
So, and I played a game of Epic Armageddon, and I really enjoyed it. It was a really nice system. It's got, I mean, it is, some of the models really show their age. Like, he used squats. And, like...
Jesus Christ. Like they space are, dwarves.
Yeah, space dwarves. And, like, not everything in Epic... the 6mm infantry especially are just a bit basic. But they are, like, products of the 90s.
They mean nothing to a 6mm piece
of
infantry.
Yeah, exactly. Like... So, but the game system was sound. I really enjoyed it. And the way the game system did aircraft was really good. I think it's the same thing that pretty much Flames of War copied. Or maybe the other way around. The way that aircraft, you just... buy an attack with them essentially, and they come in attack. Other aircraft can get them afterwards, but the only things that interact with them are AA guns and the attack they do. Yeah, so they come, which is basically how aircraft should be.
But I think most stuff has an AA attack, if I remember rightly. Most armour.
Only dedicated,
like a six
only
off.
Dedicated, like anti aircraft.
Oh, sure,
guns.
Like fucking.
Anyway, what I'm saying is I played the game. It's played three turns.
Yeah.
So it was a new game system to me.
With the five victory points.
Yeah, with the five ways to score. So it's got its scenario players all the time. Basically, I was like, this is a really nice game system for what it is.
And the suppression, so you get blast.
Yeah, blast markers, which represent, basically, psychology of war.
Yeah, suppression.
You know, which, again, that's a really good idea. And you represent them with, like, tokens or dice. So I managed to hold him to three turns, and then I basically ran out of Marines. So it goes to a fourth turn, and I was like, I've just run out of the army, like, left, you know, like I've been killed. But it was, yeah, it impressed me enough that, obviously, because I have the stuff done, you know, already, that there's an epic Armageddon UK events. It's quite an organised system.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a proper tournament system.
Yeah.
It was left to die, and so it... People like Simon ran with it.
Yeah. So at some point, I definitely would like to play in such an event. You know, so maybe the UK Games Expo, there's one, for example.
London GT.
Well,
you're busy.
I'm busy. But, I mean, don't get me wrong, like, I prefer Warmaster, but this was a nice game. Because, like, some of this Epic Armageddon was a bit like, meh. You know, like, as in, he had this... squat like Cyclops, I think it's called. It's basically got a huge gun on it.
Right.
Yeah, a huge gun. And it's like in the fluff, it's retro, it's a spacecraft's laser cannon that's retrofitted onto this thing. And it just annihilates anything it shoots at. And it's like, but it's because the squats don't have titans. It's a titan killer. So it just basically like just, like, you know, in the latest Star Wars movie where they blow the door open with that Death Star tech. Like they're
really. I've seen it.
Oh, yeah, you've seen it. Oh, well, it's basically that. Okay. Moving around. It's like, oh, okay. You know, whatever. But, you know, it was... That game was much better to me than 40K is. you know, like Epic Armageddon.
Tournament-wise, yeah. But I think the pressure they have from fan armies is immense. They have to really kind of hold the line.
Steve spoke about this, and he's a UK champion. He's literally had to nerf his own army at times, like, because he's found some way to exploit an army, and it's not... Yeah, because if you spam, like, Thunderhawks... then that's a really good build, and it's like, so they had to like do something about it, and it's but it is, at least they can do something about it,
living,
yeah, it's very much alive.
But I think once you scratch the surface, you'll see there is a fucking phenomenal amount of lists, bonkers amounts.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, like we say, oh, you've got 22 lists. I think they could have more than a fucking 100 different lists.
Really?
There's probably about 20 different marine lists.
I don't know. I thought there was like one marine list.
No.
Okay.
No.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, anyway, I enjoyed it, basically. I played a new game system. I played two new game systems since last recording.
Ooh.
And I really enjoyed both of them. So then on Thursday, so the next...
Still going.
So that was
going.
In Bethnal Green on Wednesday. On Thursday, I went to Kent and I played Justin. Did. You know, like, an hour away from here. I played as Orcs and Goblins and I used Skaven. And I had a really good game against Justin at his club in Barming, it's called. Kevin Bryant was there.
Barming?
Yeah, somewhere in Kent.
I can't remember the name
near,
of that.
Not so far from Margate.
Hmm.
Yeah, anyway. It was a well-lit community hall. And,
nice.
Yeah, I played Justin.
Did the Orcs win?
Skaven won.
Of course.
Yeah, but I could potentially also play Stuart, who's there as well. Good Stuart and Justin are the two of them. Yeah, and it was just cool. It was just it wasn't... What I did was I went down there early, had dinner with the pair of them.
So far this week, since Sunday, you've put in three games of Warmaster.
Two with Jim and one with Justin. Yeah.
Two games of Epic.
Yep.
It's pretty good.
No, one game of Epic.
One game. Okay, fair dinkum, fair dinkum.
And then the other thing I did was I went up to see my guy who was my best man at my wedding, Ben Collins. I hadn't seen him in ages. And he taught me Shadespire. So I am Shadespired up. I binged on Shadespire.
I saw you playing with or struck against Marines. I saw it.
I used both. I did both for Anarchists.
Goddamn, look at him.
Yeah, Shadespire, I was really impressed. This game, Warhammer Underworlds, as Takumi, its proper name, has come out of nowhere, and I was really impressed by it.
We will see, sir. We will see. I'm finally going to give it a run out.
Mm-hmm.
But we're just going to put these blue boys inside.
Yeah, yeah. So... I am up to speed with the thing, and I'll show you it after we record it.
Okay, good. We done?
Yeah, well, obviously...
Obviously,
I could talk a lot more, but I'm conscious that this isn't a pool show. Like,
it's pool hobby show.
It's a Warmaster show.
Right, so, okay, let's KR.
Attention! If you need to get your miniatures safely from point A to point B, then get yourself a KR Multicase. KR Multicases come in all manner of different shapes and sizes, and have gamer-friendly pricing. So do yourself a favour and get yourself a KR Multicase today! Soft foam, hard cases.
Okay, so we're back in the room, and Paul is going to tell us what in God's earth the Lizardman fluff is.
Indeed.
Because this is stretching my credulity, this fucking thing. Is this the one where the space lizards come down and...
Well, I'll tell you. Frogs from outer space.
And they're really the ones that created everything. Even the Elvesies.
All right. So, Lizardman. Before Chaos came into the world, there was a more ancient, forgotten age. The Age of the Old Ones. This far
not the Cthulhu Old Ones, by the way. They just share that title.
No.
Because they're not big grizzlies with tentacles.
Shut up. Right. This far-off time lies beyond the memory of man and is recalled only dimly by the elves. That's how old it is.
It's old.
The most ancient of all the world's warm-blooded races. In the distant age, the planet was dominated by cold-blooded creatures. These undisputed rulers of the world were the reptilian Lizardmen. The mysterious Old Ones, not a great name really, themselves came not from the planet, but with the Great Darkness. They travelled in the stars in their silver ships by means of immense interdimensional portals fashioned with arcane skills blending both sorcery and science. In that forgotten era, the old ones were unchallenged masters of the universe, of time and space. The world was but one small, insignificant colony amidst a glittering galaxy of stars. According to the most ancient records preserved in Lustria, themselves a cryptic and much distorted copy of even older accounts now lost, the old ones discovered a dying world of ice deserts inhabited only by primitive reptiles. They employed their strange sorcery to arco-engineer the native creatures into various types of workers and slaves. First of all, they set the mysterious, mystical master race of Slan to fulfil their ambitions and rule over the rest. The Slan used the incomparable power of their minds to reposition the planet in its orbit so that the temperatures became more tolerable and jungles grew up to cover the equatorial regions.
Okay.
More importantly, they constructed a permanent trans-dimensional gateway through the axis of the planet. Portals all over the poles allowed the old ones to transport huge fleets from world to world. By these means, new creatures of many kinds were introduced, including the ancestors of the warm-blooded races such as elves, dwarves and men. The Slan caused their Lizardmen servants to raise great pyramid structures wherefore mighty Slan mages observed the stars and contemplated the inner secrets of the multiverse universe. Their great minds spanned the stars and their thoughts quested throughout the time stream, exploring the endless weave of possibilities and consequences. The secrets of the old ones lay within their grasp, but their minions flourished out of the new made world. Mighty cities rose peopled by the lizard races. The first elves walked the land of Uthwan, and the Slan nurtured them, cultivating the young race in preparation for the troubled time they foresaw in the stars. What they saw was the coming of chaos, the destruction of the old ones' intergalactic civilization, and the collapse of the mighty warp gates. Being creatures of great wisdom, the Slan set about creating new races strong enough to stand against the powers of chaos gathering in the outer darkness. The coming of chaos to the world was the ultimate test of the Slan. Their civilization was almost destroyed. Many of the wise ones were slain. The warp gates fell and volatile magic flooded into the world and altered it forever. But as the Slan had planned all along, their minions proved stronger than chaos. The world was saved thanks to the lizard races, the first elves, the ancestors of the dwarves, and the other nascent people nurtured by the Slan. But the world was changed. The efforts of the Slan had all but finished them. Their time of greatness was over, and the remaining Slan mages fell into a centuries-long sleep for which they awoke enfeebled and diminished, if they awoke at all. Their great cities crumbled and declined. Only the cold-blooded servants continued as ever, guarding the pyramid cities and star temples of the Slan, awaiting the instructions for their masters' reptilian patience. So it has been for thousands of years that now even fewer Slan remain than ever, and the great ones of old have all passed on. The Lizardmen races continue to live among the ruins and preserve the day of the intent of the old ones, if not their understanding. That's the fluff.
What a load of bollocks.
Yeah,
that is,
it is.
Really.
It really is. Yeah.
Just a load
it's
of
not,
bollocks.
It's not good.
So what are the ancestors of the dwarves? What the fuck are they talking about?
So
who are they?
So basically, the Lizardmen race, out as in their and their leaders are the Slan, are the oldest of the oldest races.
Yeah, yeah.
But they themselves are the product of something called the Old Ones, who basically are multi-dimensional, like, space aliens.
The multiverse. We're going into Star Wars. What's that multiverse? What's that from, the multiverse?
When you read that, it's like, then you can almost, like, Age of Sigmar ain't so much of a stretch, is it?
Maybe not. With their silver magic alchemy ships or whatever the fucking... Yeah.
I mean, like, maybe at some point it was the fluff to combine the two games together at some point.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe it's an Easter egg, like Hodor. Maybe we're going to drop this one in and later on we'll use it. The silver ships are coming back into Age of Sigmar to bring the God Emperor from 40K.
I don't know. Whatever. I mean, like, let's just... Okay, Lizardman's fluff, not good. Yeah, like, it's basically Aztecs and lizards. That's the two themes they
Aztecs
went
Aztecs and lizards,
Aztec
yes.
lizards.
Aztecs, cool. Lizards, yep. cool.
Cool. That's fluff, the army. Great. Fluff, terrible. Don't even mention it.
Fluff, not good. Right, okay. So we've done the fluff. God damn it. Yep.
Right, army lists.
Say the special rule, because they have an annoying...
So we'll go for the army list, and then we'll talk about what army lists we have brought, yes.
Yeah, of course. So they have a special rule.
They do. It's army rules, dense terrain. No command penalty is applied to any units in the Lizardmen army on account of dense terrain. The Lizardmen's ruin-infested jungle homeland is mostly dense terrain,
correct.
And they're used to communicating through thick jungle and narrow tunnels by a mix of instinct and bizarre subsonic noises inaudible to other races.
That's a good rule. I like that.
That
one.
Is. So basically, there's no... And they at least they did it by going beyond, like, saying it's just not jungles, it's any dense terrain.
Yeah, and then all the other special orders are tied to actual things, but they are pretty important and yeah, how the,
which we will
and
come
how the
up
list
to
works.
When we come up to.
Okay, okay. Right. Go so, on then, sir, what's first?
First troop is Skinks Infantry. 2 attacks, 1 shot, 3 hits, 35 points for the minimum 2, so you've got to have 4.
You've got to have 4, 50 centimetre range.
So, and remember, every unit in the army is immune, is, has no penalty to being ordered, like in Woods, for example. So
which
remember
is a
that.
Bit, that's passive, a good bonus.
Passively,
that's a good bonus.
That's there. But also Skinks have a shooting range of 15 and can shoot from any direction. And that's who they are.
Basically, if they're shooting, they're dying. So I try never to put them in a position to shoot anything.
Here's like some finished versions that we have on the table here. So I don't know, really. I mean, I like to try and use like these kind of troops. Like, they're like goblins, basically. This is the list goblins.
Goblins? But they're expensive goblins.
Yeah, 5 points more. I suppose, yes, 5 points more, aren't they? Basically that extra buff of they can be ordered. Like,
I think it's more to do with the 360 goblins. Goblins aren't 360, I don't think. I
don't know. It's not my head. But does it really matter?
No, because if they're getting shot in the arse, they're dying anyway. You know, if they're getting charged, they're dying.
But they can do the things that anybody can do just as well as anybody else. They can support, like, they're not
they
limited.
Support.
Like, they can support any other troop in the army.
Correct.
So they're the second cheap second wave to something, you know, like the backup, the Saurus, if you had to. I mean, I know Barry would take 4 and hide them somewhere, but that's him. That's
you
not
could,
me.
You like, you could certainly use them to put on the second line of something like Croxigor,
yeah,
who is expensive as hell.
Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, they have a natural, and units in Warhammer had those kind of mixture, the mixture of the two.
Which is, well, yeah, it's a bit off topic, but that's one of the real Achilles heels of the ogres, because not only are the bastards expensive,
yeah,
but you can't put the cheap stuff with them.
No.
So those, yeah, they've yeah, got ogres supporting ogres, so that's fucking expensive.
Mm-hmm. So the next unit is Saurus, who are infantry, have 4 attacks, 3 hits, 5 up armour, 75 points, minimum 2, maximum none, and they have a rule, reptilian. Reptilian troops can only be issued an order by a character within 20 centimetres. If a reptilian unit form part of the brigade of an order and be issued as long as all reptilian units are within 20 centimetres of a character issuing order, this rule represents the creatures being cold-blooded brutes and slow to react. So the skinks don't actually...
They're warm-blooded.
Yeah, they're warm-blooded.
Warm-blooded.
So they can be ordered first.
Not everything is cold-blooded in this list. Uh-huh. But, yeah, some of the things like pterodons aren't cold-blooded, but they've got their own rule that means you can't order out of 20 anyway.
Yeah.
But Saurus.
So I think that's something you forget, because you think, you remember, like, you think everything can only be ordered in 20, but skinks can't. Skinks can be ordered.
That's war to them. War over the get in the woods. That's you done, fellas.
So, okay, Saurus are pretty damn good.
They do have a negative, though. And other troops at that point, price point, which I think is the best, the best value.
4-3-5.
The best, the best profile for value.
Yeah.
So, like, bang for your buck.
Yeah. Okay.
I think these guys are the best bang for your buck.
Yeah.
And but you're having to take a negative trait on that 75 points.
Yeah.
Which some of the lists, like, for example, who we've got, demons have them. I think even bloody wood elves might have them in some way or shape or form.
Maybe. The thing is, there's no point contemplating on too much on a wood elf list because it's not finalized.
No, maybe not. But what I'm saying is, like, sometimes, like, you know, your Skaven get a discount.
Yes.
These guys get a negatrait.
And a positive, because they can be in
Yeah, yeah. Okay, but that's negative's massive, man. That negative's like, you can't order outside 20. I'm telling you, there were points in the game where if somebody knows that, you only have to set up, what's that, 20... more than 40, where you can't get there. It's not a case of, like, I'll get there in 3 orders. You can't get there.
Yeah exactly. Mm-hmm.
And it's even more annoying with the cavalry.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. I know the maximum threat range of my cavalry is 50.
Yeah.
Because you just can't get
just
any
can't
further.
You can't get any further, yeah. Because you have to be 20 and then another order, yeah. That makes sense. So it's less than, you know, so other cavalry can sit within 2 orders and your guys take 3 orders.
Well, can't do the third order.
They can't get there.
If you set your cavalry 60 away, they can't get there.
They can't get there safe.
You can get them, but they can't get you.
They can't get you. No.
Yeah. So it's just something you learn when you play Lisbon. But these guys, phenomenal.
Yeah.
I take butt fucking loads of them. I'd take an entire army of them if I didn't need other stuff.
Yep, fair enough then. Okay, so Temple Guard, infantry. 4 attacks, 4 hits, 5 up armour, so they improve 1 hit. They're 110 points, minimum none, maximum one, and they have the same cold-blooded ball.
So these are 4-4-5.
And these look like those albino guys over there.
4-4-5, yeah?
4-4-5, yeah.
There are other things in the game at 4-4-5, but not many.
Not many. It's a difference of 35 points from Temple Guard to Saurus, and you get an extra hit. But that hit can be quite a big deal. It can be.
If it was armor, now we're talking. Yeah, 4-3-4.
But like having 4 hits to play around with, like if you know, can mean the difference whether you decide to carry on a fight or back off. You know, like seven wounds.
4-3-4 wasn't that bloody Hullskarl thing? The big argument everybody had.
Yeah,
the Hullskarl.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I'd rather have that profile than a 4-4-5.
Oh, okay.
I'd rather have the armor because I find like dwarves can tank it out. Cavalry tank it out, man.
Well,
they got four up
the
armor.
The lack of modifiers in close combat attacks in the game does mean that your 4-up armor can massively skew a result. It's not impossible.
Yeah.
You can theoretically win any fight, you know, because if you just roll well. But it's a lot easier to roll well when you've got a 4-up armor. So
these guns are interesting. I've got maybe one or two in my collection, but I don't tend to use them.
I mean, I like what they are as a concept.
I love the models.
Yeah.
The models are lovely.
Yeah, they're there. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's just hard to get them in because everything's expensive in this list.
That's cool.
Apart from skinks, which is...
So, Barry's favourite unit, Salamanders. 2 attacks, 2 shots, 3 hits. They are 25 points for a single stand, plus 1. You could have no minimum and you could have a maximum of 2. And they have a rule 3, so they're warm-blooded, so they can be ordered further away.
Of course
they
can.
The model, Stegodon. Salamanders.
Salamanders.
Salamander stands never count as independent units under any circumstances. Instead, you may add a unit of Salamanders to a skink unit.
Like a skirmisher.
This brings the unit to 4 stands. Salamander stands do not count for the loss in terms of command penalties. Does not count as part of the unit's formation when determining if the unit is in regular or irregular formation. And if the Salamander stand is attached to a skink unit, the entire unit, including the Salamanders, continue to employ Salamander Venom, shooting attacks, which give them a -1 armor save. When hit by a stone, Salamanders have 2 shooting attacks, range 15, and can shoot all round like skinks. However, if they are charged, they only have 1 standing shooting attack. Interesting bunch of rules.
They've got a lot going on.
Got a lot going on.
But are you going to be using your skinks offensively?
Well, I would, but
of course,
you're not.
What, on the front line to be charged?
No, I'd find a role for them. You know, like, let's see. Yeah, I'd use 2 units.
Of Salamanders?
Of 2 units, you know, like, going 2 stands, going around, doing stuff.
It's like pits on a bull. You're paying a 25-point premium to put a unit that you should never be putting in harm's way.
But when you pay 25 points, your combination is 60. And then you've got a 60-point 4-stand unit.
Okay. Knock yourself out for that. Knock yourself out. With armour-piercing, if they can ever hit anything at range 15.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you're getting within 15, you're in trouble. And if you're being charged, you're in trouble. But either way...
But then they shoot.
It's not like Halberdiers, where you're paying... What do you pay for them?
45 points for Halberdiers.
Yeah, but then with the Skirmisher, they go to 70.
25 points for the Skirmisher, so you go to 70, yeah.
Maybe it's comparable. But they are very good. If you do a column formation with Skirmishers in the front, they're 4 attacks each, aren't they?
Yeah, they're pretty
meaty. Those.
Yep.
Interesting unit. I can see why they're in there, but I think for me, I tried them very early on. I tried 8 units of skinks with lots of these Salamanders, and I tried like
I just tried 4 of them. Yeah,
Stegodons and Christ, I've tried everything.
Yeah, yeah.
But you live by playing with them.
Okay, so Croxigor, other infantry. There's 5 units of infantry, 5 attacks, 3 hits, 4 up armor, 135 points, and they have the cold blooded rule as well. So only can be ordered in 20.
These are good.
Yeah, they are good. A 4-up armour. Interesting, they've only got 3 hits. You think they'd have 4 hits, personally.
But they'd be really expensive there.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Chaos Warrior's got 4-4-4, and that's 145 or whatever.
Which we reduced.
Yeah, 150 points originally.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you give them 5 attacks, oh, my God, they'd be like 180 points or something.
I mean...
With 4 hits.
Meaty. I mean, 5 attacks with 4-up armour.
They're like trolls, aren't they? But better.
Better, yeah.
The problem is... They're 135 points.
They're at the bottom there.
I definitely have tried using a list with one of these in.
Yeah.
But then I traded away for something else. We'll talk about that. But they've definitely got a role.
Yeah.
They can go into terrain and win.
I think with this kind of thing is it's like a lot of armies. You won't have a lot of these guys because they're expensive. it's application of force is the right thing. I was like in my Skaven game that with Justin. That's what the Skaven are about. You don't have lots of unit of rat ogres. You just have a few, and it's about applying them in the right situation, seeing the table state, and then applying them. And it's like, this is the counterpoint. The naysayers of Warmaster will say, oh, it's just about, you just roll command rolls. That's all the game is, just make some command rolls. Well, that's massively oversimplifying what is a really good game system. It's like the detail of it is applying this kind of thing. It's like, where do you apply your strongest bits of your army? No, and that's the art of it. Yeah. There's little things that these guys shouldn't be able to beat up.
Yeah, maybe Chaos Warriors.
It would be 50-50.
They're very interesting.
Yeah. Okay, so Cold One Riders are the only cavalry unit in the army. But what a one.
But you look at the restrictions.
Four attacks, 3 hits, and 4 up armour. 140 points. You can have at most 4 in the army, and they have the Cold-Blooded rule, which means they can only be out of in 20. Which is a big negatrade, yeah.
It is, for them in particular.
Mm.
And... they're the most expensive cavalry you're going to get, apart from like your crazy
interesting
Chaos Knights.
Because they are Cold One Riders, like compared to like Dark Elf Cold One Knights, they don't have this extra +1 attack. But then, it's interesting, they don't have the same like bonus.
They do have. Well, no, the +1 attack here is always on.
Oh, it's always on.
So they have 4 attacks.
Yeah.
Base, whereas your Dark Elf ones are in the first round of combat in the front.
Right, fair enough.
On the flip side, they've got no negatrade. They can get ordered for fucking miles away, can't they?
Yeah, with a command 10. Yeah.
With a command 10, yes. Yeah.
Who hasn't slit his own throat yet?
Happy days.
Jim did that a lot. He rolled 3 double 6s in one of our games. We had to literally, like, should we rework that because that isn't a fair result of the playtest?
Did he bring the 30-point magic item?
No.
Talk to the tourists, mate. Do you know Christopher didn't do it either?
Because people don't want
to. Right, well,
it's only 3% chance.
I'm not bad mouthing Christopher. I like Christopher. You know what he took instead?
What?
Ring of Magic.
Ring of Magic, yeah.
Fuck Ring of Magic. I need my guys alive. I'm running like on a minimum crew. I've probably got 3 characters if I'm lucky.
I'm going to slit all their throats. Yeah.
Kill them all, you bastards.
You bastards. Right, pterodons, monsters. 2 attacks, 1 shooting. 3 hits, 6 up armour, 85 points. You could have most 2. And they have, pterodons can fly. They have range 15. They can shoot from any edge. And that's their rules. Yeah.
They're very good.
They're a very good unit of flyers.
They are.
Mm-hmm.
Top tier. Like eagles.
Top men.
With a bit of defensive shooting as well.
They do.
Because one thing, these monster flyers don't like to be charged because they've got no attacks. 2 attacks to stand.
No.
So at least gives them 3 attacks to stand.
Yeah, give them a chance, yeah.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. It's better than not having the shooting attack.
Yeah.
And if you were desperate, you could put them behind like a cannon and try to shoot off the cannon.
Yeah.
You can't get in the front.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, something with 2 wounds. Yeah, but you could combine it with a spell or something, other shooting. Not that you have a lot of. But yeah, they're a good, very good unit of flies. And it's good. An army that has flies is definitely a buff. So
it's better than the one that doesn't.
Stegodon, here we go.
Here you go, Steggy.
10 attacks.
Just the
3
10.
Hits.
Just the 10 attacks.
10 hits, 4 up armour, 1 unit, obviously, 1 stand. 250 points. You could have 2 in the army. That would be a buy.
I've seen it, done.
And it has some rules. It's mounted on a 40 by 60 base.
Massive
which is basically
base.
It's a unit in column, is the Stegodon. And it causes terror. Obviously, it can only be brigaded with skink units, which is where Barry goes wrong, I think.
No, that's where I started off playing, with the skinks and the salamanders escorting Steggy upfield.
Those skink units cannot have salamanders they have a Stegodon, because they won't get along. Yeah, like, they have it's 3 shooting attacks of range 15 centimetres and can fire all round.
Yeah.
Obviously, a feature of the game. And it can be wounded because it's got 10 hits, so once it's gotten 6 to 9, it's badly hurt. That's all the rules, yeah, for that. A lot. But when it charges in the open, it's a monster, it'll have 12 attacks.
12 attacks with terror. But nice. It engages a lot of frontage.
Yeah, it has a lot of frontage, yeah.
So it engages.
But it does a 4 up armour.
It engages 3 units generally when it charges. Because it's a full base width, look. So
yeah,
you're engaging a brigade.
It's a lovely model, isn't it? It's a little proper dinosaur.
And the saddest thing.
Yep.
Is trying to play. with Steggy against Dwarves or Empire, where the cannon just kills it. And you go, you bastards.
You bastards. You killed my dinosaur.
He doesn't generally die to the cannon, because he's got 10 wounds.
Yeah, but he get badly.
But he's only got 20 centimetres movement, so the fire pack will kill him.
Yeah. He gets run away.
Any games where we've played like doubles or it's 1,000-point games, wang one of these in, man. Nothing's taking this down in a 1,000-point game.
Not a 1,000-point game. Yeah, yeah.
It's one cannon, shrug a cannon off.
Shrug a cannon, can't hurt me.
It's got to do six wounds, hasn't it, the cannon?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it literally, it can't do enough for one unit of cannon.
Because it's not bounce through, is it? Yeah,
it's one base. It's just like, just take it.
Four hits, nothing. Bang. Yeah. Two wounds.
Yeah, yeah. Full average. If it did four, it could... 7, 14... Yeah, no. What's the maximum you could roll on four dice? 6, 12, 18, 20. Yeah, it could drive him off, couldn't it? Drive him back. But it'd be very unlikely. You have to get 21 or 3 or 4 dice.
Blah, blah, blah. Right. But...
Yeah, he's a rock star at 1,000 points.
And he's when we played that doubles game, I think I shoehorned one in. He ain't worried. One cannon.
Take everything. gets hit him in the flank. Oh, I've still got 9 attacks back. Four up armour.
With terror.
Yeah, you probably charged me and I've got the same.
Armour's the thing, though, isn't it? Four up armour is...
With 3 shooting attacks as well when you came in.
So yeah, that's 12 attacks.
Yeah, yeah.
You charge him 12 attacks with terror. He's a good boy. I remember we were going to play Tony. I think he brought 2 Stegodon list. Now that is ballsy.
That's quarter of your army.
And then you've got your command structure stuff.
Yeah, yeah. You ain't got a big army.
No, but it was 2,000-point game, so they didn't last too long. Yeah.
Two of his cannons, ow.
It was bolt throwers, 3 up hitting bolt throwers.
Yeah.
Just to drive back was too much.
Can't miss it. Can't miss it. But well, they wouldn't be 3 up now, would they?
That would make a difference.
Okay, so we go now onto the collection of characters. So,
which are unlike any other set of characters.
Definitely. So, what's a key thing of a general in War Master, Barry?
The general is, without doubt...
But like in all other lists...
He's the guy that has to do orders, unless you're an orc. Now, orc generals are shit.
They're just as good as heroes.
Yeah, or as bad as heroes, whichever way you want to look at it. But normally your general is the guy that's having to pick up all the crap and keep the army together. He doesn't blunder, he does this, he does that.
It's not elf all hero. Generals, because they don't, but what do most generals have with... When they all give an order, how far can they give it?
Unlimited.
It's pretty good, isn't it?
Very good.
Unlimited. There's not much better than unlimited.
No. I've quite happily run lists with one hero and one leadership 10 general. And the leadership 10 general can easily do 6, 7, 8 orders a turn.
So, Slan Mage is a 2 attacks. Yeah. His command value is 0.
Of course it is.
That's not like it's not missing a 1. Because it's not 10.
It's not 10. It's not even 8.
0.
It's not even 8.
There's 95 points and you've got to take him. You're going to have one of him. Slam Mage rides a palanquin carried by a bodyguard of fierce warriors. So this combat bonus is not him, but his bodyguard.
Yeah.
He's the army general, but he's not good at reacting to actual real things. Hence, he's got no command value. To represent this, the skink, he has to give orders to his skink retainers. So any skink character within 20 centimetres of the slam, has to be skink character, can announce they're using the general's divine guidance, deducting -1 from their dice score, as in an 8 counts as a 7, etc. So it's all pseudo-ly making them one command higher.
Oh, yeah, yeah, but that means, just to put it into context, that means a leadership 8 hero becomes a leadership 9 general.
It does. Have a look at the model, it's a lovely model.
And you can have 3 of them or 4 of them, these leadership 9 generals.
So when divine guidance is used, and the skink cannot blunder, any roll of a double 6 simply counts as a fail. But if a divine guidance roll is failed, then the slan's divine guidance cannot be used by other characters, and they have not ordered yet in this turn. Their confusion over this mix-up is represented by adding +1 on all their first order.
Oh my god, no!
So in addition to the slan is a great sorcerer, and he can cast spells as a wizard, and be given a magic item to represent either a general or wizard, should you wish. They're very good at powerful wizards, so they have the high elf re-rolling any spell apart from a roll of a 1.
Yep. But there's one more.
The Slan Mage can also cast a spell using a Skink Shaman as the focus, if desired, an arc node. Work out the spell as if it was cast from the Shaman, measuring the established line of sight from the Shaman model.
Awesome.
This does not affect the Shaman's own ability to cast spells that turn, and you don't. They can. Oh, sorry. If a spell is can also, you don't have to do that. But
like, no, they can cast him themselves.
Yeah, they can cast themselves.
But then why is he so near the front?
What a weird character.
He's bonkers. It's just bonkers.
That is a lot of weirdness in that one.
I mean, there's a lot of words, and it took me a while to get my head round.
Yeah. But there's no other Command Zero character.
It plays completely different to any other army because
yeah,
of that.
Because that, of that. See, in a sense, that can't. It's right that it's because it's the general, but it is really the army. Because you have to have a general. It's really an army rule, isn't it? Really.
Yeah, you've got this guy that goes around casting spells.
And is too slow to talk to his troops.
I love the fact he casts it through his skink shaman.
Yeah, that's
fantastic. It works incredibly well in the game.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that the divine guidance rule.
Yeah.
But you get hooked on divine guidance. You think, oh, I'll use divine.
You don't have to use it.
Don't ever use it unless you absolutely have to use it.
Right.
And always use them at the end of turn.
Oh, okay.
So you'd quite happily run a hero with some cavalry, normally.
Yeah.
Level 8. He's like leadership 8. He can do one or two orders.
Yeah.
And then you think, oh, divine guidance. And you roll, I'll use my divine guidance.
Yeah.
First order, gone. Bang. You might as well just stop playing because the rest of your turn's ruined. Because you ain't going to... Yeah, you're lucky if you get anything off. Because you've got to take one off the first order of everything.
This is a Revolution edition, like, so at least you get the half movements and stuff. But, yeah.
So you compare that to the Screaming Bell, yeah? Your Screaming Bell's quids in, isn't it? Oh, failed. Oh, well, next guy up.
You know what? Playing against Justin, when that Screaming Bell got in the range of his orc characters, it was glorious.
Because it made you... Oh, man. Screaming bell.
Dong, 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 dong.
One day I'll kill that thing. One day.
Not this day.
It's so hard to kill.
Yeah, because I don't let you.
It's so hard.
You should
have
seen it. I blobbed my whole army around it. Right, okay, so that's a really weird character. It's the weirdest general, I think, going. So,
but we have got good spells to use.
Yeah.
So don't underestimate how important having the wizard is.
So then we have a Saurus hero, who's a hero.
He is.
Two attacks. Which is more than one.
Well, he's a good guy.
He's command 6, and he's 45 points.
And he can't use divine guidance because he's not a skink.
He's a Saurus. He's too dumb for that.
So that's all he's ever
going to miss. He's command 6.
I mean, Revolution, though, that's a 10-centimeter move.
Yes, it is.
It doesn't matter.
And he's a hero, so he can order out to 60 with command 6. So if it's over 40, his base roll...
Well, who's he ordering?
So hang on. If he's... That's skinks.
On a 6.
So when he has to order those skinks to win the game...
And he's over 40.
He's doing it on a 4. there's so much going on. I mean, he's literally a fighty character. Like, you don't even consider. He's like a Doom Ball. You wouldn't even consider giving an order with him.
I do take one.
But yeah, because put him on a.
And he doesn't worry about nothing.
So, okay, the character selection continues with weirdness, because then we have a skink hero. So he's a hero. He adds no attacks. Most heroes add one.
Because he ain't fighty.
Because he's command 8.
Which is good for a
hero.
He's
less points than is the normal 8.
Because he has no fighty.
Because he's 70. And you can have up to 3 of them in 1,000 points. You can have 6 skink heroes.
You could.
No other rules. Well, he's obviously affected by other rules, because, this is... Is mental.
Okay, next.
I never really appreciate how crazy their command structure was. so Skink Shaman is a wizard who adds 0 attacks, command 6, 30 points for a character. It's not the cheapest.
I think Goblin wizards are the same.
You can have 2 of them in an army.
So that guy is affected by divine guidance.
Yes,
so he can order on a 7.
Theoretically. Yes.
He's cheap as chips. But he has to be cheap as chips. Because...
we'll come on to those spells.
Unfortunately for this guy, unlike any other army in the game, to use his signature spell is going to cost him his life, generally.
He's kind of like, well, I know.
There's plenty more of them.
Shouldn't cast it, really, should he?
More of them.
And it's an army that you can have 3 wizards. You can have 3 spellcasters in it. So then you have 2 mounts for characters. You have a Stegodon mount, a monster mount, which adds 5 attacks and at 90 points. And
okay, guess where that goes?
So now, the Slan mage may lose his palanquin and bodyguard and instead ride on top of the Stegodon. You ever done that?
No, because it's only 3 extra attacks, isn't it?
This attack bonus is changed to that's shown. So yeah. If he rides a Stegodon, he causes terror.
Of course he does.
And the usual combat modifiers apply. No other character can ride a Stegodon. So
no.
you can't put a Saurus hero on a Stegodon. You can stick a Slan mage up there if you wanted to.
That's quite a weird thing to do. No fighting, no ordering character, but I'm going to put him on a monster and I'm going to put him into fight, yeah? But if he dies...
But if he dies...
I lose the game.
Yes.
So generally putting your general in harm's way is not a good idea.
Not a good idea. Maybe what the new player would do, but...
Or the Bretonian player. God wills it!
It's a bit of a random one. And then last one is their Carnosaur, which is two attacks at 65 points. And a Saurus hero only could ride a Carnosaur, because he's a Triceratops, and he causes terror.
And he's a beast. How many? He gets two, yeah?
65 points with terror at two attacks.
So that gives you a Saurus character four.
Because of Saurus.
And terror.
Yeah.
And he's pretty cheap.
Put him a Sordo bashing, and he's on to five.
And cheap.
Cheap.
And
yeah.
Cheap.
Yeah. That's probably the most cost-effective combat character. Because you don't have to, you get discounted because he's a shit commander. Right. So, the Lissaman spells. We have Gaze of Sotek. Five up to cast. Range 30. It's standard. It must be able to see the target. It's three shooting attacks. Armor has no effect.
Yeah.
Across many armies, it's the standard shooting spell. So with this, means that if you do get some shots in somewhere, then you could potentially do with this spell to make a casualty. That's what.
Or you can try and ping off a cannon.
A two wound thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fair chance for that. You know,
50-50.
Mazamundi's Revenge, range 64 up to cast.
Oh, this is the spell.
You don't have to see it.
Yeah.
Lasts until the next turn. Yep. And the enemy unit it's cast on cannot charge and engage in combat, will not pursue or advance. There you go.
So this spell is one of the two spells that makes this list usable.
Usable, yeah.
Because we got no artillery.
No.
We got no range game.
No. Well, you got 15-inch range.
We got really shitty command rules that mean that generally we get charged.
Yeah.
So we need a way to stop Chaos Knights and Grail Knights.
Grail Knights.
And all of the shitty knights from charging us.
Yeah. Okay.
So this is it.
This is it.
You can spam this three times in a turn. You'll get two off in general.
The general will re-roll it if he doesn't roll a one.
So you'll get two off. So this was enough to shut down two units of Grail Knights units. I think one of the games it shut down three units of Chaos Knights in a turn.
Well, like a whole brigade.
He had a brigade. Shit, now what am I going to do? Because that really is painful when you can't... You can move around, but you can't attack.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Yeah.
Good spell.
So Wings of the Jungle.
And range 60.
Five up to cast, range not applicable. So this spell can be cast on an unengaged friendly unit that the wizard has joined.
Ooh.
This only affects a single unit. And there's no supporting charge. The unit can be moved as if it had received an order and the command phase. The wizard goes with it, and other character stands that have joined the unit will not move with it. They remain where they are. So it's like the bullet. It's an order spell, but your wizard has to be with the unit.
It's the only one. It's not like the Empire or the Wood Elves.
The Empire one, they can cast it from 30 centimetres.
Bretonian one.
Yeah, yeah.
There's loads of them in the Vampire Counts one.
Vampire Counts one. Yeah.
There's tons of them in the game. This is the only one where the wizard's going to die. If you put a wizard in with your flyers and send them against cannon, even if they kill the cannon, where are they going to go to?
Yeah, exactly.
They're in the middle of the enemy line.
Yeah, yeah. It's what you pay for it. So you would say that, well, that kind of helps with the Command 20 problems, but you don't get the wizard back again, do you?
I never ever worry about doing it because
fire and forget.
One of the brilliant things you can do,
cruise missile.
We have to talk about the next spell.
So
and
shield
of
the old ones, five to cast, range 30. Cast on a friendly unit that is engaged in combat and within range, does not have to see the target. Next phase and maximum to 4+. I assume it increases their armor save.
So you can't go 3+.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. He's already at 4+ armor bonus and brings it to 4+.
Yeah, so I think there is a way to get the Grail Knights at 3+. It's a banner for 50 points.
I think there's some text missing from this because it doesn't read correctly, but that's what it does. Increase their armor save.
Yeah, to a maximum of 4+.
Yep.
So it doesn't work on Knights, Cauldron Knights, because they're already 4+.
Four plus.
Doesn't work on Croxigore. Does work on Saurus, obviously.
Saurus. Yeah, makes him a 4+. Yes.
What I tend to do, one of the little tricks of the trade, is I will Wings of the Jungle in with some Pterodons.
Yep. And then increase their armor.
Yeah, yeah, but hopefully using the wizard himself. So maybe he's using a ring of magic. Maybe he's rolling the five. But probably the ring of magic, to be fair.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it doesn't matter where he is on the board. The big wizard. Can cast it through him on himself.
Yeah, of course. Because the Slam Mage can use it.
There's an arc node.
Yeah,
so he could be 100 centimetres away now. It wouldn't matter.
Wouldn't matter.
He gets two rolls to try and get the armor on the Pterodons.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Nice.
Well, hang on. Doesn't only the Slan cast that, doesn't it?
What?
Only the Slan the general would cast the shield. If you in that situation,
yeah.
Because the other skinkers had to cast Wings of Joe. Yeah.
And then if for some reason dispel scroll or whatever, the first mage can't get you in.
Yeah.
Then the slam has to do the Wings of the Jungle.
You could do the other wizard to cast it first, couldn't you? Like you see, your skink wizard two first casts armor buff on the unit.
What if you don't get in?
Well, I don't know, but like, just saying, like there is a way. Yeah, to get
so what I do is I with the wizard.
Yeah.
He was trying to ring a magic it.
Yeah.
If it gets countered, then the slan has got to do
the wings
of the jungle. Yeah. Otherwise, if he's already in, then he gets the armor buff.
Yeah,
the slan.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
So I do it.
So that's the army list.
It's not as varied as some of the later lists.
We'll run through our sample lists.
If you look, there's not much in there really, apart from infantry. There's a buttload of infantry.
Only eight units, yeah.
There's a butt ton of infantry. You've got one cavalry, two monsters, three monsters because the flies are monsters.
Two units of monsters, Pterodon and Stegodon.
Five
infantry, one cavalry, two monsters. I got it here. So let's go through the tiers. Now, to give some context behind this, Barry has used Lisman a lot more than me.
I think I used them exclusively last year.
Yeah. So Barry is the... I'll take the lead when we talk about Skaven. But I will give you a list of what I've done. Okay. So,
what would you take in your world of Paul bit of everything?
I take this, which is what you can see on the table there. A Slan Mage, a Saurus Hero, who's going to be on a Carnosaur.
Of course he is.
Two
units of Skinks, eh? You already...
Hang on, what did I write there? So four units of Saurus Warriors.
Price this up to...
four units of Skinks. Four units of Saurus Warriors, four units of Skinks, two units of Temple Guard, two units of Croxagore, two Salamanders, three Coldwood Knights, one Pterodon, one Stegodon. Oh, yeah, sorry, two Skink Wizards. Yeah, that's what it is. So my character selection is a Slam Mage, a Saurus Hero and a Carnosaur, and two Skink Wizards.
Have you got fucking crazy, sir? Did you write this list in the dark?
That's just what I've done.
Where are your Skink Heroes? What are you going to want?
I ain't got any. Don't need them.
You do need them.
Maybe I do need them.
You need three of them as a minimum.
Hang on, I just realised the problem with my list. Yeah, like,
you're 210 points over because you need three Skink Heroes.
Minimum. And where's my commander?
Because nothing else can order.
I ain't tried it yet. Scrap that list. That's
so you've got a guy with no leadership and three leadership six, yeah?
Two are pseudo seven.
Spaghetti-o.
That's why you play a game before you take it to a tournament.
Here's my list. I've got no characters. We'll be fine. They're overrated.
So the breakpoint is 9. The scout value is 5. I might have messed up there. I guess my breakpoint's going to be lower because I need some Saurus.
Skink Heroes, three of them, so I would recommend.
Looks like two units of cavalry are going to get two Skink Heroes in it. Yeah.
Because also,
make mistakes.
We all do. It's very similar to. To Tomb Kings.
Yeah.
And then you've got to kind of have these bubbles.
Yeah.
But you've got to have maybe more like Skaven. You've got one bubble, and then you've got three bubbles around the bubble. Because you've got to be within 20 of the big fella, the general, and then your troops have got to be within 20 of the people trying to order them.
Quite a few War Master armies, Lizardmen will play differently to every other army, won't they?
Oh, yeah.
They don't play like any other army. Like Skaven, with these kind of command problems, do not play like any other army. But then that capitalises with their unlimited break of unlimited brigades. And it's like, how do you form the brigades? That is the problem. That is what is when you're playing Skaven. It's like, literally, like I commented on Facebook with Skaven. I was like, in a sense, it doesn't matter what my opponent's doing. I can't concentrate on that. All I can do is try and move my blobs of Skaven around. And I'm kind of, regardless of what the enemy's doing, I'm just trying to, scenery doesn't help. Because I'm just like, I just try to kind of avoid it. You know, if it's a dense terrain, I don't want to go in there. You know, like, so... last for gutter runners. You know, anyway, so that listeners don't listen to my list. It's like it's not good. So let's listen to Barry's
preparation.
List.
Preparation. So what I was trying to explain is you have to have your Skink Heroes to get Divine Guidance within 20 of the general.
Yes.
So the general's in the middle.
Yep.
Then you've got 20 centimeters to your three Skink Heroes.
Yep.
So it's one center, one left, one right.
Yeah.
And then all your troops have to stay within 20 of those.
Yeah.
So. The thing has to kind of castle up,
yeah,
and just move forward as one,
Yeah.
You can't rush ahead because you can't physically get ahead.
Yeah.
The most you're going ahead is like 50.
Yeah, true.
Two orders, 50. Well, you can't even get... Well, your cavalry could get 50. Yeah. Other stuff is like 40. Anyway, so this is the list I used last year.
The real list.
The list that works. But I will warn you, it's very me.
Yeah.
So it's just like, what works well? Oh,
go on,
let's maximise that.
In this case, I bow to your knowledge.
Four skinks, because you have to.
Because you have to.
And they do increase your break, if you can keep them alive. For eight Saurus, because that's as many as I can shoehorn in.
Because that's
great. I would take 12,
yeah,
but something else is expensive and I need them. So we've got eight Saurus. Obviously, they're in two brigades of four,
obviously,
which tend to run as an eight, just next to each other down the middle.
Smash, smash, smash.
So you just push all eight forward. Don't rush forward.
Yeah.
We've got call on riders. We're allowed four, so we take four.
Yeah.
Because apart from maybe Chaos Knights... Well, I mean, these are probably better than Chaos Knights because they're 60 points cheaper.
Yeah.
And you're only losing one hit.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, Jesus, if you could say, it's 4-3-4 and it's 60 points off for the one less hit.
Yeah,
say,
yeah.
Go on, give me that.
Yeah, it's true.
That's why you only get the... No, you only get four of them. We've got two.
But hang on, they do have the debuff of cold-blooded. That's probably
that's a massive debuff. Yeah.
But that affect their points. Yeah. It's not just literally. The only difference is one less hit. Cold ones are cold-blooded.
You have to always be planning the fact that you're going to get charged because they're going to come from further away than you can get.
Because you can get to. Yeah.
I mean, you can get around it with the spell, but it's only one unit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Pterodons, I take two of those because cannons are bad.
Yep, and they're the only thing in your army that can really be over 60 aggressive, can't they? Can actually reach out
and do something.
Strike. Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you have to give them two orders, but that's not that hard.
Well,
9-8.
No, it's possible. Yeah.
And that's it. That's it for troops.
So you only have 1, 2, 3, 4 different unit types in your army. Yeah. That's a barrier.
Well, three.
That's about
three.
Yeah, because you don't use one.
One just hides.
Come on, hides.
So I put it in the back corner, as far away from everything as I can,
exactly.
In trees,
and
then fight away from it, keeping it behind me.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, that's very me. We got one Slan Mage.
Because
we have to. One Saurus Hero, obviously on the Carnosaur.
Yep, he's the
and point. He gets the 5-point sword, because that's all he can afford.
Okay, but
we've got to keep it cheap.
Can we keep it cheap? Yeah.
We've got three Skink Heroes.
Yep.
Who have to do all the ordering, obviously.
Yeah.
Two Skink Shaman.
So the three Skink Heroes are ordering the cavalry in one block and the two Sauruses. So one each.
Yeah, it's pretty doable.
Yeah.
It's pretty doable.
Yeah.
And so, somebody's got to throw a Pterodont in order.
Yeah,
hopefully. Then we have three, so we've got two Shaman, because that's the most we can have.
Yeah.
One's got the Ring of Magic, one's got the Spell Scroll.
Yep.
And that's it. Break is 9. We've got 18 units, but we only expose good stuff generally.
Yeah. So you've got to get 9 good things. Yeah.
9 good stuff, and we don't put the skinks into scout.
Even if you piece trade off the flyers, you're still going to get 7 other good things. Yeah, so this army gets beaten if someone gets the skinks, don't they? That's how it gets beaten.
Yeah, it's never happened.
It's never happened.
But if it did happen, that'd be really sad.
It would
happen with something maybe like Beastman Ambush.
Yeah, I was just saying about
saying
that.
Fuck, I can't protect them. I've got to bring them with me.
Yeah.
In fact, I did it. Who did I play? I can't remember who I played.
Must have been Rodders?
Could have been Rodders.
Yeah.
And I had to completely change my...
How you play. Yeah.
I had to put the skinks in the middle of the brigade and bring them with me.
To hide them.
To hide them.
Yeah.
If I leave them behind, they're just going to get ambushed.
They're dead, they're just gone.
So that's bad. We don't want to give that away. And my scout is 6, because all I put in...
It's your flies.
It flies. Sometimes, if you want to be ballsy, you can put the skinks in.
But you can still win the roll and hide the skinks, couldn't you?
Yeah. I mean, you're not giving away much.
Because
they're just going to be near terrain and just jump in.
Because your first turn priority is to hide them somewhere.
I think they're only 0.5 each, aren't they, skinks?
Yes, because they are infantry that can shoot. Yeah.
And what I've found is that on the rare occasion, because the way we play it is that your scouting is part of your list.
So
you can't change it between games. So if I've said I'm going to declare my skinks and I come against Beastmen, that can be really bad. Because I either declare them as a block, which I don't want them, all together, or I have to declare my entire brigade.
Setting your whole army up,
Because they're in the middle of the brigade. So it's just not worth the 2 points. I'll take my 6.
Yeah, you take your 6 and you're trying to spike it.
And if you're playing against elves, we lose.
You lose anyway. Exactly.
I think somebody recently had 18 scouting. with elves. Is that a whatever, man?
Well, I just can't win.
Like, so I've got 6, you've got 18. Yeah. You win,
yeah. I rolled double 6, you rolled double 1, you still win. Excellent.
Goddamn elves.
So what tier would you make
Lizzie? They're 1.
You think they're tier 1?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 1.5, I think I said previously.
Wow, tier 1 army list.
They're hard to deal with, Lizzie.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. Well, that list you say there... Like, say, even if you lose the Pterodons and you could peace trade them off, it's still 7 units of either Saurus or Cold One Knights you've got to kill. The enemy's got to get through. Because it is quite, again, it is quite easy to hide a brigade in Warmaster. It's like, that is the way to do it, because you just make the fight not where they are.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Just so, take the fight away from
so
them. So yeah.
Playing against you, you've got to somehow sneak away to get to those... Like, even a single unit of cavalry would give a lot of these skinks, like a run for their... would kill a lot of them, wouldn't
yeah, yeah.
it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you'd think that I'm only... My stuff's not yeah. apart from the Cold War Knights. The yeah. Saurus are just Saurus. They're not the best infantry in the world. Yeah. But what you're forgetting is that three times a turn, I'm potentially taking away your best thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That spell where you can't fight with yeah. your best stuff yeah, is yeah. really annoying to play against.
Not them. Yep.
Yeah, not them. not rat ogres. No, you can't have them.
No, I can't have them.
Gutter runners, you can have them.
That'd be an interesting game, Lizardmen versus Skaven, because my gutter runners would be chasing down your skinks wherever they go. I would infiltrate them. That's what they're doing. Like,
they're not
them.
Much better than skinks.
No, not much better. I might take them on. But like, they are worth. They will trade well.
Because you can only put one unit at a time. Yeah.
You can order them separately, but the Skaven I have at the moment has 2 of them, and it breaks.
But you have to do them separately, ambush separately.
Yeah, yeah. But that's what I go for.
I'd probably let you try. I'm not worried. I think they could take on one unit of gutter runners.
I don't know.
I'm defended, and I've got shooting.
I won't turn up in your front, will I?
Don't make any difference. I've got 360.
Yeah, I suppose, but whatever. It'd be an interesting, very interesting game.
It would be interesting.
Because I'd gum you, there'd be a lot of dead Skaven by the end of it.
Like, there would be a lot of dead Skaven. The charge of the Cold Ones into the Skaven is just eat them all.
Bad.
So, what would you reckon they are?
Yeah, no, I mean, well, I have not used Lizardmen, as you can obviously tell by the list I just
wrote. By the list you wrote.
Yeah, like, so I have to, I cannot say negative. I cannot say no, they're not.
They were better before they got the Divine Guidance rule changed.
Yeah.
Because I think the previous Divine Guidance rule was when you failed, it just went with no negative. None of this minus one to future rolls and stuff. Because that really does make it problematic.
I think, yes, I agree they're tier one. Because with that list you've written and how you play it, that is extremely strong.
I mean, goddamn, if you get Saurus Warriors into terrain, which they don't suffer from any penalties for being in there, they can order just... They're impossible to shift in a decent number. Impossible on a hill. Man, you just can't shift them. And I think Jim had told me is like... some of the older players that in historical times, like back in the day, people that could play Lizardmen well were very difficult to
play.
Very difficult to play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very difficult.
Yeah.
They're a good list. Mm. I mean, I wish I could tell you they were easy to get hold of, but they fucking aren't. I dropped on when I got mine.
Yeah.
Alex, the man who hoards everything, Alex Clark, I think he sold them for a steal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A steal.
Didn't know what he was selling.
A steal. So it was like, all right, I'll buy them. I don't know. I didn't know at that point they were rare. I just needed an army. He said, has anybody got an army? He said, oh, I've got Lizardmen. Yeah. I said, all right then. I don't know anything about them. It's like, whoa.
Wow.
Yeah, if only. Anyway.
Happier times.
So they were my first army that I bought.
Fantastic. I didn't realise that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they're a very good army, but they're just fucking hard to get hold of.
Yeah, and when they... being lizards and stuff, they can be really colourful as well. Like, you can have bright colours across the whole army.
I saw some fantastic ones some blue ones on the Facebook page.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Shit with them. Is that Stuart was doing that? I can't remember the name. Oh, crap.
No. Yeah, never mind. Yeah, I think it was.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so, if you... maybe not first army.
No.
That's high elves.
High elves are your first army.
But when you get away from high elves.
When you stop... tired of winning with high elves, you can win with Lizardmen instead.
But it'll be interesting to see Paul's build against my build, because you have got a little bit of everything.
I do, yeah.
A little bit of Paul.
But, yeah.
So what else we got to talk about? What's else on the list?
We have... You said Christoph Tactica on Facebook. Magic Pro 2. Oh, yeah, well, yeah. This is quite old stuff, isn't it? So, because this was written a while ago.
So it was basically, there was... it's not Christoph.
Christoph.
I think it's Christopher? Mm-hmm. Or is it Christopher with a K? Christoph with a K.
With a K.
Yeah. Right, yeah, yeah. He's done like a Tactica.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like for new players on how to build brigades, how to do movement and stuff. It's on the War Master Facebook page.
Yep.
Although, maybe he's done it on the Specialist Games forum, because one annoying thing about Facebook is, like, if you wait a couple of days and try and find something, you can never
find it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's virtually impossible.
Yeah.
There's no way of searching.
But he's done it as the first page of the Facebook, of the group, isn't it? Like, it gives links to where model companies and stuff. It's like a good idea.
Right.
It's like a flyer for the game, essentially.
Yeah, good. So it's very good. If you get a chance to go and look at that, go and look at that. Christopher's done a fantastic buyer's guide, again.
Yeah, which is another one linked on this, like, flyer, essentially, of the Facebook group.
Right, excellent. I haven't seen that flyer.
It's the first page, basically, you know, the pinned post at the top, which you click to read more.
So he did his buyer's guide, where he said, this is how much money everything's going to cost you. And now I think he's done an alternative manufacturer's guide.
Brilliant.
Like, for each race, just phenomenal. Mm-hmm. So if you, like, Lisbon, don't try and buy this on eBay, because you're going to get, destroyed. Like,
my thoughts on scalping on eBay are well known.
Mm-hmm. But you ain't getting these for £10 a year.
No, you're not. Like,
So get yourself Eureka, I think, do tremendous models.
You can do the entire range in Eureka.
Yeah, tremendous model.
Yeah, so like it's a big order in one go. Unless you live in Australia.
It can be quite pricey as well.
Yes, it can. But you can do the entire army.
But I think you can get most, if not all, of the range from Fighting 15s or something like that in the UK. Yeah. And also, one thing I did learn last year is, if you're going to Salute, you could order from Eureka and they'll bring it to Salute.
Yeah.
In their suitcases,
just give it to you in Salute.
That saves a fortune on postage.
It's worth doing. Yeah.
You might even be able to dodge some fucking import customs fees.
Yeah, customs. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's definitely something worth doing if you're going to Salute. Mm-hmm. What else we got to talk? Is that it?
Just a couple of shout-outs. We've had some nice feedback from people since we last recorded, which is quite good.
That's always nice to hear.
It was always nice to hear, which I'd sent you, like, one was... So
get on with YouTubing.
Yeah.
Is that the one?
Yeah, basically.
The battle reports?
Yeah, yeah. But, we'd like to, but Barry is the...
They're coming. I've decided that once this Kickstarter finishes, hopefully towards the end of March... I ain't doing another one straight away.
Yeah,
I'm going to take the rest of the year off.
Yeah,
I'm just going to fucking relax.
Good.
I'm going to sort my house out.
We can play some games. Play some games.
Mm-hmm. And I'll come back rejuvenated and re-energised and maybe look at it again.
Fantastic.
But, no promises. Mm-hmm. So, it'd be nice to play some games.
Definitely.
There we go.
Yeah.
Right. So we're going to play Shitspire now. Without the blue Marines.
No Blue Marines. I'm going to teach this game to Barry.
I'm going to be playing these corn bad boys.
They're the Dangle Bros.
They don't really float my boat normally, Korn. Mm-hmm. I'd much rather have some Nurgles.
Yeah, okay.
Because these guys are a bit kind of clean cut for me, even though they're nutters with axes. Mm. Want some pox and violent maggots spewing
don't
out of them.
Clean cut, really, Barry, but like one's holding a head.
I'll tell you what I've been doing. I've been watching some Spartacus. I have seen it before.
He must have done, It's good, isn't it?
So what happened to the guy? Did he get cancer? Did he survive?
The original actor, who I forget, his name was Andy, wasn't it? Like, he got cancer after they'd filmed the first series, or maybe he's suffering from it, I don't know. But so they made the prequel series while they were seeing if he would get better. Sadly, he didn't.
They made a prequel?
They made a prequel series.
So was there only one season of the Blood and Sand thing I'm watching?
There's four Spartacus series.
Right.
Only the original series has the original actor.
Oh, okay. Right.
The prequel was then made just simply because they didn't know if he was going to get better or not, and he didn't. And then they had to bring in a different actor who did a fair job, but wasn't this Andy was like the original actor owned the role, and then the other. So the actor that replaced him did twice as much material.
Right.
He did two more series of that.
Okay. Well. It seems alright so far. It's perfectly watchable.
Oh, I love it.
My wife was not really interested in it, I've got to be honest. How did Hannah feel?
Same.
It's like, oh well, men and women are wired differently. Okay, I think I'm on episode 7 or something.
Yeah. I don't think we mentioned it on the Bonacon episode. But did you hear this story about GW's, like this 5,000 going to 15,000 LVO debacle?
LVO, what's LVO?
Las Vegas Open. like this the story that's going around. The guy who got money like for charity for being screwed out of a game.
It's very nice of them.
It's an interesting.
I don't. You can't expect take backs. If you give a take back, that doesn't mean you can expect one in return.
Yeah. It's just a very interesting story. Yeah,
I try never to do take backs.
No,
that's
fair enough. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Possible, just because there's a kind of expectation. If I do it for you, you should do it for me, and that doesn't always work.
Yeah, well, clearly, as that story goes,
Okay, well, we'll knock it on the head there. Then, so that's about an hour. We've got it's probably more than an hour.
Oh yeah, well, more material than that.
Shit, it is. You've got your 17 minutes add on. Mm-hmm. These episodes just take a while. That's an hour and 15. Yeah. So anyway, so if you want to get hold of us, you get a Facebook page or warmasterpodcast@gmail.com.
Yep.
That's episode 87.
87.
Warmaster Revolution Edition. Lisbon.
Thanks for listening.
Paul, Barry, good night.
Would you like to know more?